Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the president or the pastor or a soldier or a songwriter, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get on others on cue with that purpose. Now, what is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformation leader, led a starved, desperate, broken people in building a wall and building a way of life in ancient Jerusalem. He C-U-E'd them up. C is for common ground. It's what we can agree on. Is it really the why we've come together? U is unified thought. What vision can we share? It's the what we plan to do. And E, equally yoked, it is what's the game plan? What's success look like? What's my role in this? How do we work together? It's the how. So Q leadership, in a broad sense, integrate biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model, but helping you to do two things. One, to get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you in discipleship. And those two elements, trust and discipleship, is at the very axis of leadership, no matter what frame of mind or sphere of influence you're a part of. So as we always do, we want to start our show with our prayer. So, Lord, you are merciful, powerful, loving God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience, all that are serving you, Lord. So we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, by giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q. So, Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align and equip and transform some new leaders for your glory, and help others hear the call, receive the call, and, Lord, use this to raise some transformation leaders, some gatekeepers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. As we always do, our show is a lot of things. We like to have a dialogue. We like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. We try to equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into those two elements of building faith and building trust and build discipleship using faith. Highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference. They can testify to God's goodness and glory. And our show is a lot of things, but our show is not. It is not to criticize, but shine a light on some truth, but in love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but at the root of the problem. In a sense, treat the infections, not necessarily a running nose. So today is within a day. Let's be open. That we hear the Lord and not me and have the right questions, no matter what the differences may be. Remember that this life is about love and surrender, and there may be differences of opinions. When they are, let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And at the end of the day, be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue to solve some of the things that we're talking about over these next few series. So last week, we kicked off our Freedom Series. Independence Day weekend, 4th of July weekend. We are all grateful for our freedoms that we have in America, regardless if we agree or not about the politics or the direction of the country, as we share. It is because of freedom that we're able to have these disagreements, and it's also because of freedom itself that freedom has been, in some senses, maybe under attack over the years and over the centuries, if you kind of think about it. And we'll talk about that a little bit more during our show. Many people have fought and died for freedom, and keeping it alive, just as many have died and successfully stopped it as well. So we have some that who are granting freedom, those are stopping freedom over the centuries of our history. So as last week was also discussed, which brings up the big topic of this week and last week, about the unaccompanied children coming from Central America into America. And we discussed last week our question of the day, Oh Say Can Kids Stay, playing on the Star Spangled Banner line, Oh Say Can You See. It has been a hot issue this week and even hotter last week with the President Obama's visits to Texas, and as well as his notable flight on Marine One with Governor Perry this past week. Just to recap, recall that the parents of over 50,000 Central American kids are sending their children on a 2,500-mile trek to the U.S., the land of the free and the home of the brave. Can you imagine the circumstances and the despair that would drive a parent to send their unaccompanied child with the very hope of saving them, with the very hope of enjoying some freedom, risking and sacrifice in the search for a better life, in the search for freedom, search for a promise that inscribed, as I said last week, in the Statue of Liberty. And that inscription says, "Give me your tired, your poor, you huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest tossed to me, lift my lamp beside the golden door." And this has been no better way of expressing that freedom at the Statue of Liberty. And the question was then and has also remained today, is that golden gate, golden door open to these children? Will they too sing, as we said last week, the Star-Spangled Banner one day? And at the end of the day, you know, we asked a question about, oh, say, can kids stay? And our answer from a biblical and a Christ-like perspective is yes, they can stay. And that debate still goes on today. But to send them, you know, for the parents, in order to send them with a certain boldness, a spare, a love in all three, there had to be some pretty phenomenal feat, decision for a parent had to make. And they all yearning, as the inscription on the Statue of Liberty says, yearning to breathe free, yearning for, it is for freedom that those parents set those kids on this journey. And it's also for freedom that Dr. King branded the words, "I have a dream." It's also for freedom that Lord sent Moses into Egypt. And it's also for freedom that President Lincoln stood at the Gettysburg Address and declared this nation as a government of the people by the people. And it was also for freedom that the Committee of Five, who edited Thomas Jefferson's most famous words on the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Over the centuries and countless numbers of wars, public and private, many have died, many have been saved in the name of these unalienable rights. Many have been conquered, many have been slaved for these unalienable rights. Many have fought, many have given their lives for these unalienable rights, which is life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You know, which is, in a sense, these things describe the freedoms that we enjoy. And what does this type of freedom mean? How do you define it? Who defines it? Where is it found? Who needs it? Who determines it? What guarantees it? And are there limits on this freedom? But which also brings us to our question, the main question of the day is freedom free? Is that answer could be either yes or no. If you ask a soldier who's fought in this war, has a family that has fought in war, they may have a definite know that the freedom is not free. If you ask a politician or anybody else, you may get an answer, it depends. But what we're going to do today, we're going to ask a pastor who's always speaking about life and liberty into peace, speaking life into people, and is always building his ministry that believes that life changes happen in the context of community, and every life matters in the kingdom of God. And helping us is our special guest, Pastor Malcolm Finkley of Life Church, and he also runs an online community called Connect Life. And he's perfect for this topic today about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And Pastor Finkley always has an open and candid testimony that most pastors I know wouldn't dare to reveal. So you can't miss it. And he's going to be helping us today answer that question. Also, you will be helping us answer that question today. So please call us at 310-861-2331. And we would love to have this dialogue today. So after the break, we'll bring on our special guest, Pastor Malcolm Finkley, and we start our dialogue on life, liberty, is freedom free. So during the break, stay with us. You can't miss us. Again, our number is 310-861-2331. Feel free to press one on your telephone. My daughter Kennedy can bring you in, and we'd love to hear from you, friends. This is On Cue I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. So today's question is, life, liberty, is freedom free? Helping us with that question is Pastor Michael Finkley of Life Church. He's always speaking life into all those he come across. And he's a good friend and as well as a great supporter of Q Leadership in so many different ways. Welcome, Pastor Malcolm.
Welcome. It's glad to be here.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time out, especially on short notice this week. I hope all is going well for you.
All is well. I'm
awesome, awesome. As you know, we start our show with a couple questions, and maybe a recap for you, but also it'd be those who haven't heard or heard from you before. But let's start off with the first one. You know, what is that one word that describes you?
Life-giving.
Life-giving. Say more. So that word.
Yeah, life-giving. John 10 says that Jesus gives his purpose statement, and I think that's something that should be duplicated in his disciples. And he says, I come that they may have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus' purpose was to give life, and as his disciples, as sons and daughters in his royal family, in the kingdom of God, our goal should be to give life to others.
Give life to others. Being one to another. So simple, right?
Once you discover your purpose, yeah.
Absolutely. Second question, if money is no issue, it's maybe trivial for you, but in order for the audience to understand who and what type of person you are, what would you do every day if money was no issue?
Look for ways to impact the community through the life-changing message of the gospel. You know, Eric, I believe that God left the church that men may know how to have eternal life. But God also left the church that men may know that he desires men and women to be sons and daughters in his kingdom. And so the kingdom of God is what I would love to preach, love to talk, love to help display every day of my life.
Giving him the glory every day of your life.
Every day of my life.
Well, you know, with this, which leads into, tell us about your vision of what Life Church is all about. Especially as we know now that one word describes you as life-giving. Share more about that.
Life Church is just one caveat. I was having a conversation earlier today, and you know a lot about my journey, and I believe that Life Church, building a multi-ethnic Christian fellowship where the message of the kingdom is preached, where people are connected to the love of Christ, where people serve in the area of their giftedness, and through ministry, the world is changed and impacted. That's the purpose of Life Church. But what God has shown me is that Life Church is just one conduit, one umbrella of this new concept that he placed on my heart. That's really a new way of facilitating the vision, but it's the same vision that he gave me many years ago, and that is to create a community where every life matters. In that community, where we can seek to connect lives to God vertically and horizontally to each other.
Yep.
So the vision of Connect Life includes Life Church, but I see OnQ as a strategic partner in connecting life, in giving life. I see the future building of things from educational facilities to making sure that our seniors have the proper care and making sure that people, no matter what stage, no matter what phase of life that they're in, whether 5 or whether 105 or whether divorced or whether happily married, it doesn't matter, that creating an opportunity for them to also give that life away and to give out the great message of the kingdom is my goal.
Is getting, no matter where they've been, no matter what their testimony is getting them connected with their purpose and giving them a platform in order to serve. That sum that up in a sense to, in another way, is that the right way to look at it as well?
That is the correct way to look at it. That is a great way of stating that, and that's why I believe that OnQ is a strategic partner in that, because it's the mission is united.
It is, because, you know, I'm going to digress here for a second, which brings up a point related to that your overall mission. I was looking at some statistics from the Pew Institute about, and I probably shared this last time or with someone recently. There's a study this past year, 2013, and I was shocked to understand that 63% of Americans don't attend church regularly, and I was shocked at that. And it's for me, and the gap will continue to widen of what I'm calling the unchurch. And so that 63%, you know, 10 years from now, I could get to 70. And, you know, it's going through a whole series of elements of, you know, what, why is that? You know, there's a lot of things you can point it to. But I'll always, because of people leadership, I always go back to leadership, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, I believe, really from a hypothesis perspective, is those people don't understand their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so a place like Life Church, a community, help them understand that every life matters, and every life matters in order to connect them with their true gifts on purpose. That's a phenomenal thing. Yeah, absolutely, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, and That's what God's given me, my vocational experiences, my educational experiences, my ministry experiences have all shared the same theme, and that is everybody matters in the kingdom of God.
Everybody matters where they come from.
Every life matters, yeah.
Even as related, you know, I know the topic of the day is not related to the unaccompanied children, but since it's connected, you know, that goes for those kids too. Every life matters on that journey.
Every life.
Every life matters. Wow. So when you hear, and shift gears for a second, when you hear life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what comes to mind for you?
Hey, what comes to mind is the responsibility to identify and accept the challenge to live within the confines of the Word of God and the glory and benefits of His kingdom.
Okay. Say more.
Let me suggest that one will never experience true life, true liberty, and the true pursuit of happiness if they are apart from the kingdom of God. They would mere just be existing and trying to make sure others knew that they existed.
Why do we have so many people not understanding that or accepting that, to your point? It's understanding but also accepting that challenge. What's your thought around
it? Well, I think the central mission of On Cue is one of the strongest reasons, and that is the lack of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You use Nehemiah as the foundation. You mentioned Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a transformational leader. Not only because he was able to achieve what God instructed him to do, but that he was able to lead a nation to fulfill the purposes, the plan, and the project that God had ordained for them to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the mark of a true leader, you said this over and over, is their ability to galvanize the people who they're leading. If nobody's
Absolutely.
Following you, or they're following you but they're not following you in the right direction, then you're really not a leader.
You're so right, because it comes down to, you know, there's a lot of definitions around leadership, and it is my passion, it is my calling, as you know, and others know. It comes down simply, I said the acts of leadership when I start the show. Can I get you to trust me? Can I get you to follow me? But that trust and that discipleship, it can't be fleeting. It can't be seed put on unfertile ground. It has to be foundational in order to grow. How do we get, I know this is why On Cue or Cue Leadership exists. How do we get more people in leadership? And there's more of a trivial question, just throwing that there, to understand that and basically accept that challenge, to your point, of when you hear the words life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
I think that is my belief that they can either be proactive in doing it or reactive in doing it.
Okay.
And the people who they lead or they desire to lead, I think will cause them at some moment to be more in tune and develop their leadership ability and embrace the real purpose of their leadership. If not, then what they'll quickly discover is that those individuals are looking elsewhere for leadership and will find
it. Which leads to when the sometimes interpreting life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, I can do what I want. I have the license to do whatever I want to do because you failed me here, and now it's discounting. I'm discounting you, not only discounting you, but also my belief.
So I definitely hear you can have a whole show on that piece in itself. So which leads to, you know, when those individuals decide not to follow men or women in a certain capacity, they're exercising their freedom to do whatever they want, or choosing to lead or follow anyone they choose to. But when you hear the word freedom, what comes to mind?
Freedom to me means the absence of restraints or prohibitions.
Okay.
There's a release involved in freedom. There's the ability to move directionally or to not move at all.
Okay.
So freedom involves a choice.
Right. So absence of restraint, a prohibition, a release of something, and a choice in doing that. So yes. If you connect that to life, living, and pursuit of happiness, and that connect that to of our generation or our culture, what does that lead us? What does that get us at this point?
Well, sadly, it has got us a whole lot of nothing. One of my pastor friends actually preached that this morning. It has gotten us an opportunity to excel, and we've done great in some areas. In some areas, our freedom has even caused us to regress.
Okay. And so with that, you know, that's part of where, you know, a Q, and as well as Life Church, in a sense, in order to really bring all of that together. But when you think about freedom in so many different ways, you know, it's without constraints. You know, it's from the beginning of time. You know, freedom in some form or fashion, not the way we use it from a political perspective, but has been, as we use it today, but been under attack in some form or fashion. Going back to ancient times of Pharaoh, to American slavery, to civil rights, people have fought and died for the preservation of these freedoms, no constraints, in order to take this freedom. In your mind, in that sense, is freedom free?
Eric, no. I don't believe biblically and scripturally, Galatians 5 and Galatians 4 actually leaves out for the believer in the kingdom of God that there is a price that has been paid for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe and I support the fact that freedom has cost and will cost. You will either pay for the freedom up front or you will pay for it afterward, but you will pay.
Okay. So say more. So either pay up front or afterwards, but you will pay.
You
share more about front.
As you mentioned before, as we speak, there's this countless men and women who have dedicated their lives, some in the ultimate, they've paid the ultimate sacrifice, so that Eric and Malcolm can, on a Sunday afternoon, enjoy the freedom of discussing freedom without really worrying about our freedom. I don't think the thought is in our mind that a group of men or soldiers would rush our house in the middle of this broadcast, and because we're talking about the things of God and we're talking about potential issues that could be controversial, the thought of being arrested in our homes, that's something that I rarely think about because individuals have paid the price for me to enjoy that. While on the other hand, and I'm grateful to all of our men and women who represent this country, both here on our homeland and across the sands and seas of the world, I am grateful, and I want to just pause and say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Absolutely.
For that. But the other side of that, Eric, is that there's people who, because of that freedom, not really understanding, not really having to deal with that thought, don't really appreciate that freedom. And because they don't appreciate the freedom, they themselves pay a price or cause other people to pay for a freedom that they don't accept or appreciate. Let me see if I can be clear of that.
Okay.
While I don't have the thought in my mind of having to worry about, because of my religious and or political beliefs, to that someone will attack me or they can be jeopardized because of that. There are others who take that as a liberty or a freedom to do things to jeopardize the freedom they already have, or to cause them or others to lose any potential freedom.
Okay. Give us an example. I know where you're headed, but give the audience an example in your mind.
If you're listening to this broadcast, not many of us have driven down the road, Eric, and not seen speed limit signs. We have the liberty to drive down the road. We have the liberty or the freedom to speed down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So when I choose to not obey the speed limit sign, I then jeopardize not only my freedom, but I could entail jeopardize the freedom of others as well, and even endanger people when I take my freedom lightly. And so to say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and this whole matter of freedom is something that is paid for. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves paying for it again. And we can also find ourselves endangering the lives of others and the freedom of others in the business.
Great.
That's sad.
Thanks for that example. So we're gonna take a quick break. We have Pastor Malcolm Finkley, and our question of the day is life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Is freedom free? So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with Pastor Finkley. And so stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. If you've got any questions, you can press 1 on your telephone, that raises your hands virtually, and my daughter Kennedy can bring in for the conversation, or you can log into the live chat room where she is, and she can take your questions and bring it on to Pastor Finkley. Friends, we would love to hear from you, but please call us again at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for a better life.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will, which is His purpose on your life. So today's question of the life, liberty, is freedom free? Helping us with is Pastor Malcolm Fringley of Life Church. He's always pretty candid and a great friend of On Cue. And Pastor Malcolm, thanks for staying with us through the break. You know, before we left, we asked the question, is freedom free? And you shared no, and you took us through an example, and we left off with saying we're not careful about our freedom and our liberties. We could jeopardize and endanger and put others in danger along the way. And so if for those who just joined us, to recap that really quickly of not necessarily an example, but helping them understand what do you mean about that.
Basically, what I'm saying is that if you don't understand the price that has been paid for your freedom, you could end up repaying the price, or even a greater price, and also jeopardizing the freedom of other individuals as well. And so we must strive not to take our freedom lightly.
Absolutely. We cannot do that. You know, Pastor Finkley, you just started a new online community called Connect Life, and it believes, you know, you believe life changes happen in the best context of the community. To your point earlier, every life matters. As you know, we're in our Freedom Series we kicked off last week, and then the genesis of that, for those who are listening, follow on for the next few weeks, is Galatians 5. And 5:1 tells us, you know, freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You know, what freedom is Paul talking about there?
He's talking about our liberty in Christ. He introduces the matter in chapter 4, and he's talking about our liberty in Christ, our kingdom access. And he's writing on the backdrop to a particular church, and the struggle for this particular people is that they were being tied to maintaining the laws of Moses versus living under grace. And so he addresses them in Galatians chapter 5, and he says to them that we should stand fast. Now, why would he address them to stand fast unless they were coming under some type of attack? There was a war going on, a spiritual war, and sometimes the early church and early Christians were being persecuted and even sometimes prosecuted because of their faith, because of their belief. And so he tells them, I understand you're going through this. I understand what you're dealing with. And so I need you to stand fast. I don't need you to waver on this.
Right.
Because the liberty that you have, Christ has made us free. You don't have to follow all those ritualistic and religious customs in order to benefit from the kingdom agenda. Christ is your transition point.
Okay. It's not going to be based upon your works, your actions. It's already priced and paid.
Correct. And he adds validity to that in the second clause of the verse when he says, and be not entangled again.
Again. Again.
Yeah. Which suggests that they were entangled before.
Right, right.
And verse 19, verse 19 and verse 20 actually tells us, actually through verse 21, what they were entangled with. And they were entangled with the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because the flesh says you have to meet a certain standard in order to get to God. And Paul is refuting that by saying you will never be able to meet the standard to get to God. You need to accept what he did to pay that penalty. And now you need to live based on the debt is already settled and not try to go back and get yourself entangled in that again.
Okay. Well, with that, Pastor Finkley, just to play a other side here for a second, I'm going to ask you that question again. Is freedom free in this sense?
Absolutely not. It's not.
Okay.
It's we have the choice to accept the freedom, but it costs. And even if you don't accept the liberty that's in Christ, it's still going to cost.
Still going to cost you.
Because Romans, Paul clarifies this in a very well-known scripture. In Romans chapter 3, he says, for the wages
of sin is
death. So it's not free. You're going to get paid.
You're going to get paid. So it depends on where you put your deposits right now, right? So you're going to get
right.
paid. I got it.
No, it's not free. If you choose to not accept the liberty of God and to be under the bondage, as he says in Galatians 5, and to get with the yoke of bondage, and in verse 19 through 21, he lists those things. If you choose not to enjoy the liberty and choose the bondage, then you forfeit your freedom. But not only do you forfeit your freedom, it's going to cost you.
More than you want. Absolutely.
Right.
It's go ahead.
Yeah. Now, I'm just saying, the cost of it, is he lays that out in verse 21. He says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Verse 21. That is the cost. So as we reflect on that, reflect on this life, as we asked the question earlier about freedom plus the culture plus the absence of restraints, when we reflect on the life portion of this, is this the question about what we revere or what we live by, either the spirit or the flesh?
Yes.
Share more with our audience to help them kind of understand and hit that point.
There is we've seen this in any type of animated portrayal of the good guy, bad guy. And we understand that there is a war going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. That war has not just started. The war has been going on for a very long time. Even to the fact that Satan himself was able to convince one-third of the angelic host to join him and lead the kingdom of darkness. And so the living according to the Spirit of God, that's the rule and the reign of God in every area of our life. Dr. Tony Evans would call that the kingdom agenda. Living in the kingdom, or according to the kingdom agenda, God's plan for your life, is always a choice, because Satan wants you to live in the kingdom of darkness. What is the kingdom of darkness? The kingdom of darkness is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a battle going on, Eric, there's a battle for our liberty. Satan says, yeah, you're free to do everything you want to do. God says, no, because you're free, you can't do everything you want to do.
Right. So with that point, how wrong are we to think that this life belongs to us?
Very wrong.
Say more.
Very wrong. There's no one on this earth who chose them being here. Nobody said, I was going to be born on this day in this town. Nobody chose that.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be somebody who had the authority and the skill to master plan our lives, beginning at our conception.
Okay.
Because our parents may have even chosen to have a child, but they couldn't even choose a lot of the detail concerning that child. They might have hoped it was a boy or prayed for a girl. And so there is somebody named God that has master planned everybody's life. So our lives are not ours. They belong to the master planner. They belong to the creator.
And each one of us has a purpose, right? Have that purpose.
Right.
His kingdom.
Yeah. He pre-wired that. Gave us kingdom rule. That's why he uniquely shaped us. I went recently, I was on in preparation for a job in the common practice of being fingerprinted.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I just, most people when they get fingerprinted, they don't pay attention. But I was intrigued of how they actually did the fingerprinting and the rolling and understanding that nobody has the same fingerprint.
Right.
And so I asked the technician a question, and I asked her, have you ever saw any fingerprints that look alike? You do this for a living. So when they come up on the screen, did you say, their fingerprints kind of look like, Mr. Washington that was in here 2 days ago? She says, honestly, sir, from the naked eye, a lot of them look alike. But none of them are. I said, what a kingdom principle.
Wow.
Because a lot of us live our liberty looking from the naked eye.
Mm.
And Satan's plan is to get us to look from the naked eye so that living in the kingdom of darkness looks like living the same life in the kingdom of God.
Hmm. He wants us to look using the naked eye.
Yeah.
Wow. So which leads to our liberty, since we look at things with the naked eye, is that liberty a license to do anything we want?
Oh, no. Process, shall we continue in seeing that grace may abound? God forbid. No. If we walk in the flesh, we don't please God, and we forfeit, which is the kingdom of God, as parents. Every parent understands this. The nerve of a child, of a teenager, because they probably got a little bit more energy and nerves than most children, other children, teenagers, to have the audacity to slap their parents in the face and then turn around and ask their parents to use the car. There's no parent that I know in their right mind would tolerate their teenager slapping them in the face, then giving them extended liberty.
Right.
But Christians do that every day to our Father God.
We use that liberty to slap him in the face and then ask for
A blessing.
A liberty.
Yeah. So I'm your child. Go ahead. I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I want you to bless me.
I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm asking for forgiveness, and then you bless me, right? But I'm still going to do it over again.
And then some of us even lie in the asking, because we sing songs like, "Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied." No, good and well, that is the truth. We're going to get mad if he don't bless us like we want him to bless us.
Wow. So which leads to is that liberty that we have independent of God.
No. No. Remember, I go back to my original true life liberty in the pursuit of happiness. Is the responsibility to identify and to accept the challenge of living within the confines of the kingdom and enjoy the benefits thereof.
So when we talk about enjoying the benefits of what is the proper use of freedom? When you talk about using the benefits thereof, what is that? What is the proper use of it? He outlined in verse 16 through 19, I believe, what you shouldn't use, indulge, or your those liberties in. But what should we use those freedoms, those liberties, in pursuing what the Lord asks us to do?
Well, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Because he's making a little contrast, and he starts in chapter 4, of living according to the law and living under grace. And he says in verse 22 that under the liberty of Christ, there should be fruit of your liberty. And so you know you're using your liberty right when there's fruit.
When there's fruit. Wow, so you should know them by their fruit. Is that correct? Absolutely. So when we think about the overall fruit, spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all those things, how do we still get entangled in bondage, in the yoke of slavery and bondage, if we're not living that way? How do we still find our way back to that bondage?
Well, we are wired towards the bondage.
Okay.
It is in our DNA. We got it from Adam. They say the song, "You got it from your daddy." Yeah, we got it literally. It's in our blood. And so Paul says, here's what I got to do. I got to die daily. Paul says we have to die daily What does that mean? That we have to die daily to the pool of that lust, the pool of that kingdom. And daily don't just mean one time a day. Sometimes you have to die multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christ has made us free. At the church that I'm a member of, this process, you know him well, Dr. Tony Evans.
Right.
At Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship has a practice that every church practices, but Oak Cliff is unique in their practice of it. Oak Cliff gives communion every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday this church, there's communion at Oak Cliff. And I asked a question several years ago because, you know, biblically, it's okay if you just have it once a month. It's just for often. So I asked a question about that, and actually the answer was the same verse, for as often. As you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Communion is a reflection or a reminder of the liberty that we have in Christ. So
okay,
in order to not go back over there, we have to commune with God.
We have to commune with God. So
yes,
we're gonna pick up that commune with God when we come back. But before we go, I want to ask you the question again, and bear with me. Is freedom free?
No.
Okay. And so we have Pastor Malcolm Finkley, and our question of the day is freedom free. And we're discussing life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that's tied to our almighty Savior Christ. And so after the break, We'll come back and continue our dialogue with Pastor Finkley. And during the break, feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 to ask any questions that you may have or make a comment during the show. We'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. And this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue. How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are helpless?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Full is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us and listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. Today's question of the day is life, liberty, is freedom free? Helping us with that question is Pastor Malcolm Finkley of Life Church, who's always pretty candid and pretty fresh, and is all about connecting, making sure every life matters in the kingdom. So, Pastor, thanks for staying with us this evening.
Yes, sir.
So before the break, I asked a question about how do we ensure that we do not get entangled again or by the yoke of bondage or by slavery. And your answer to that was essentially being in communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us, tell our friends, what do we mean literally that they can leave this call, leave our show tonight? How do we ensure that one of the first steps to getting in communion with God?
Well, first of all, communion represents a community or a relationship. There's a connection. And so the first step is to connect with God, which means that you have to, first of all, transfer your trust from what you can do to what he did. You will never be able to live the perfect life to enjoy the liberties that God has for you in his kingdom. You have to accept what he did on the cross. Secondly, once you accept what he did on the cross, then you must maintain that relationship. Now, there's some practical things you can do. You can make sure that you create and establish a prayer life. Prayer communication. No relationship will last without effective communication. And then there's accountability. So connect yourself with a small group or with a church so that you can live life in the context of community. Remember, I believe that life change happens best in the context of community, the context of relationships. So you need to connect yourself to a church where you can be refreshed, you can be revived, you can be encouraged, you can serve in ministry. And then you need to serve because the more I give this life away, the more God gives me to give away. So those are some practical things you can do to make sure that you enjoy. And then you got to address sin frequently, and you got to deal with sin like God would deal with it. You can't pacify. Yes, we're going to mess up. Yes, we're going to do stuff that's wrong. But I can't pacify it. I must deal with it. If I confess my sins, he's faithful enough to forgive me. So I got to accept the forgiveness of God. I may need to forgive somebody else. And I got to move forward.
You got to move forward. And if you don't do that, is exactly what Paul meant about the yoke of bondage and slavery.
Bondage. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what did he mean? I know you've shared it, but just to give it plain and simple for those who are listening, what did Paul mean about the yoke of bondage or slavery?
Sin will keep a rope around your neck that will restrain you from living the kingdom life and enjoying the benefits of the kingdom. If you're not moving, it could be you got a yoke around your neck because yokes were used to restrain and to hold animals hostage from being what they were really designed to be.
Right. And so not only restrain you, but not be using Q's E, equally yoked with the Lord.
Right. Right. God got something for you to do. Don't let the yoke of slavery keep you from doing it.
So what Paul's talking about here is the law. And can we extend that? And I'm always careful about interpreting things, and as we all should be. Can we extend that beyond just the law, which is also included, probably this is included, to self, the world, or some doctrine? Can we be bondage to those things as well?
Correct, because the law was about self, maintaining self-discipline. That's at the center of the law.
Yep.
And so I believe that you can extend that to say that that wouldn't violate any biblical principles.
Right. So essentially what we're trying to prevent in that sense of being justified by the law. And the reason why I was taking my question is extended to self or the world of doctrine. We can't be trying to justify ourselves through those mediums either. And
right.
There's no conditions of this acceptance of what the Lord has done for us. Am I right by that, or what are your thoughts around it?
I believe that you are right. A lot of times people, you know, they use the law as a license to sin. And they use the law as a saying, okay, because I am free, then, you know, I'm free in Christ. You hear people, they use the same with their neck moving as to tell you, I'm free in Christ, so I can do this. And, yes, there is preferences, but you got to ask yourself the question, does this violate a biblical principle? And I think that's where the gray area is, because a lot of us say, well, it's not in the law, so that means I ain't got to do it. No. Living.
Right. Show me in the red text, right? In the red letters.
Right.
You've all heard that, right?
Yeah. If it ain't, you say, these guys say, I keep the Ten Commandments, and I do. Really? You know, if you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, if you really love God that much, would you slap him in the face by practicing idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, having envy, strife, uncleanness, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, murders? Right? Really?
All that's written. So with that, Pastor Finkley, throw something out there at you. Every life matters in the kingdom.
Every life matters. Every life matters.
But we also hear in this text and also 2 Corinthians 6 about being yoked with unbelievers. Help us understand how do we connect the bridge of every life matters and not being yoked with unbelievers. Can you help us out with that?
Certainly. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, right?
That's right.
We're going with that. You can't just take that verse and build a doctrine on it. You can't
that first point. You can't take that one verse and build a doctrine. Okay? Good.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Correct. So,
okay.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it's Paul, which I believe wrote Corinthians, Paul pens this book, and when he says, in verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also, watch this, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And then he goes on and further defines that. When he gets down to the verse that we're talking about, verse 12, he says, you are not constraining us, but you are straightening your own bowels, that means your own mindset. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak to you as children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together, watch this, with unbelievers. And he says, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and communion, remember we used that word earlier.
Communion. Mm-hmm.
Hath with light in darkness. And then he gives the contrast. And what accord has Christ with Baal, or what part is he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Here's what he's dealing with. The fact here of being unequally yoked together. The word yoke is used here. And he says unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Okay.
The yoke was used usually in the context of oxen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was usually two oxen that the yoke was placed around their neck, and or two mules, and they would ply side by side down the trail.
Absolutely. If not equally yoked, they're not going to go in the right direction.
Correct. Because watch this. The weight of one would guide the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Paul is saying here is be careful who has the most weight.
Okay. Be careful who has the most weight. He's not saying not to commune with unbelievers. That's how that's what we're called to do, to share the gospel.
Right. Right. We're called to share the gospel. But who has the most weight? Who has the greatest influence? And one of the sad conditions of the church is that we don't have any weight. Paul later explains this. He says that be careful in Ephesians because he says, I don't want you carried around by every weight, wind, doctrine.
Right.
He said, you gotta have some. My grandma would say, you gotta have some backbone.
You gotta have some backbone.
Yeah.
So is also in that verse back in 2 Corinthians, is the key word that is fully yoked? Is that one of the key words? If you're fully yoked, that means that those weights of the unbelievers are guiding you rather than you guiding.
Correct. Because remember, he's in this contrast. He goes on later to say, okay, you got Christ on one side, and you got your religious customs on the other. You got people who believe, and you got infidels, people who don't believe and trust in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You got the worship of God, and you got the worship of idols. Who's having more weight? And that's a whole nother show.
Exactly. It goes back to that 63% we talked about earlier.
Right.
Just a whole nother show. So let's recap there. So we can't take a verse and build a doctrine. I love that.
No.
I think that's probably going to be a quarter of the show right there for me. Then secondly, is you got to understand that you can't be fully yoked and understand you have to bear more weight than those when you have communion with unbelievers.
Correct.
Those are the two things. Anything else we would share with our friends to really help understand and unleash that, because I do think that I've seen instances where someone has come to the Lord and really in tune with the Spirit, but then they won't commune with people, won't commune to go to that unchurched, won't commune, won't go into these communities where are hanging out in the hood or wherever. And in order to reach some of those people, they go testify just because of that verse.
Eric, and I would say some of them shouldn't go.
Oh, my. But you caught me off guard with that one. Some of them shouldn't go.
And it's because of that verse. Because their life ain't got no weight. Their testimony doesn't have any weight. So actually them going to those places will actually could potentially cause them more danger than the people they going in to rescue.
Why? Wow. Okay. Wow. Hey, Pastor Franklin, we're going to take a little pause here. We have a question for you. So we're going to bring you on cue. What's your name? Where are you from? What state? Hello, you're on cue. Well, I guess we lost him in a little technical difficulties there. But so to your point of where it's about, you caught me off guard, was where there's the testimonies are not strong enough at this point in order to go in and be effective at some of this, the work. And so how do we ensure, you know, I had a guest on a couple weeks ago about, you know, some of us try to start where we are or not, or saying that we don't know the right Bible verses or we don't know enough. But how's important just to use your testimony in order to connect with people? How important is that, regardless of how what you know, of what you can articulate, or even what you can just recall every verse that you've ever read? How's important just to go and testify based upon what the Lord's done for you?
Eric, a lot of times in those cases where people feel inadequate is because they're trying to be somebody that they're not in the first place.
Mm.
I am not Eric Powell. So what I need to understand that when I talk about and when I communicate various principles in the message of Christ and the message of God and his kingdom, I'm not going to be like Eric Powell. That's not who I am.
Mm.
I am Malcolm Finkley. God, and most people are not okay with themselves.
Wow.
And so they think they got to say it like Tony Evans. They got to say it like T.D. Jakes. No, be you. God made you for a reason. Because there's somebody that needs you. I tell people all the time, there are people on this earth that God will use you to reach that Billy Graham can't reach with the message of Jesus.
So it goes all the way back to the life and liberty, accepting the challenge.
Right. Accepting the challenge. You gotta be who you are, and look, the best person to tell an alcoholic about alcohol, but you gotta know who you are, and you gotta know who you're not.
Exactly.
Because if they're not ready, we can have some regression. But you gotta know who you are, and once you know who you are, your identity, once you know that God made you, that you're a VIP, you are custom designed, that your life matters for the kingdom of God.
Then you can do those wonders. You can do absolutely wonders. So, Pastor Finkley, we're gonna try this again. I'm going to bring on the caller. So caller, you're on cue. Share us your name and your state that you're calling from. We dropped again. So let's continue with that, Pastor Finkley. If that individuals or those who called in, if you haven't technical difficulties, feel free to send a question to Kennedy in the live chat room. She can bring it on and ask that question for you. Need to be answered. So you have someone, Pastor Finkley, that's feeling inadequate, but want to serve or want to go into those communities and they're not necessarily have enough weight with their testimony. So I'm building up on this, right? So how do they be steadfast? How do they stand firm as Galatians 5:1 tells us to do? How do they do that?
They do that. First of all, they got to understand their identity. Then if they know that this is what God has called them to do, then they got to strengthen their call. They gotta work on their skills and their training, and there's a lot of opportunities to do that. And that doesn't mean you can't go do something. You know, go with somebody else. Go partner up with somebody else. And if God calls you to go back to your community, you may not at first need to go by yourself. That's probably not a good thing, no way. But hook up with somebody else. Hook up with a parachurch organization. Hook up with a group such as OnQ and start learning. A lot of the things, a lot of the experiences there that I've had in ministry, I got them by accident. I was just around.
You just present, right?
I was just present, and just by being present, I gleaned so much, and I gained so much by just being present and being there, and being not just being present, but being present with the right motive and the right heart. So I would tell that person, hey, connect with organizations, connect with your church, start doing something. You know, just do something.
Start where you are. Use what you have. Absolutely.
Yeah,
So, Pastor Finkley, we could have a few more shows based upon a lot of the rich information you've given us tonight. So, but we're coming up at our end. But you know, what I ask of you is, how do people help you? How do they find you? And what's the next for you? What can we be in prayer with you about?
Well, as I shared earlier at the beginning of the show, God has laid on my heart to start this movement. And the movement is Connect Life, where we're connecting people to God through each other. And many people know that I have a vision to plant a multicultural church. But that's just one of the offshoots. That's just one of the caveats of this bigger movement to connect people to God and each other. And so we've created a Facebook page. And thank you and everybody who has liked our Facebook page. Our goal is to have at least 300. We're looking for more than that. Likes. And we don't just want you to like us to like us, but we want you to like us so that you can be informed. We're going to be doing online Bible studies, and we're going to be partnering institutions such as OnQ and other members of our community, because we want to connect people to God and each other. And so you can go to Facebook and look me up there on Facebook and connect to our Connect Life page there on Facebook, and also on Twitter. You can I'm on Twitter, getting ready to get on Instagram, and all those things, because we want to reach various groups. But I also understand that it's not just going to happen online. It is a segment of our community that wants that personal touch. And so we're looking for a place right now in Grand Prairie to host a weekly gathering where we can study God's word, we can network, connect with each other. And so be in prayer about that. And if you're listening to this broadcast, whether you're listening live tonight or you're listening at a different time, we need you. We need your support. We need what God has gifted you. And we may even need to use your home or your business or your break room to connect people with God and each other.
Well, amen to that. We definitely will be on in prayer with you on that. And we definitely appreciate you tonight, and it's definitely been a blessing and a joy for us. And so, you know, before we go, I was going to try to close out, but it was just definitely a blessing for you coming in tonight and to talk about life, liberty, and is freedom free. And so we look forward to having you back sometime soon, and as well as connecting with all the activities. And you know, of course, we'll partner in a lot of different things. So thanks for coming in tonight.
Oh, not a problem. God bless you, and thank
God
you
bless
and your
you
family.
Well.
Prayers for you.
Absolutely. So that's Pastor Malcolm Finkley, and who's helped us tonight tremendously to understand life, liberty, and it's freedom free. So you know, we that was our question of the day: is freedom free? We heard some great words from Pastor Finkley, and confirmed in those words, you know, if we the question of the day is freedom free, and I think that, you know, I kept asking him, you know, that question over and over again, and I got a little slight different perspective, and I share that with, based upon his answer, you know, really and truly. Confirmed in those words, the Declaration of Independence, if you will, where it will say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And the folks are endowed by their Creator. These freedoms are from God, gifted, bestowed, given freely. And so And the answer and the question is also in Galatians 5, where we talked about that first verse, where it is for freedom that Christ has saved us. Stand firm or be steadfast and not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery or bondage. You know, there's a freebie in there. The freedom in Christ is free. He's already paid that price for us. And feel free to freeload if you need to on Christ, because in order to inherit that kingdom. So the question of around life, if what you were to revere the spirit or by the flesh, and Pastor Finkley talked about the differences between the two, and it really boils down to the fruit of the spirit, where there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth, all that are outlined there, but also outlined in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, all those virtues. So it's okay to be free-spirited that is based in Christ. And we'll also ask the question around, is liberty independent of God? Is our free will a license to do anything? And is it a freelance outside of the will of God just because of the Declaration of Independence says so in some form or fashion? And so we talked about how do we use that freedom. And so in Romans 12 and 8:2, it talks about help confirms this whole notion that it is free. It said, for the law of the spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. Jesus paid the price for us. And now we can loosen those bondage of evil, of slavery, and of Satan. But these things don't give us excuse to give in on our desires and our flesh or eating pleasures of self. Instead, we are to be like Christ and walk as he walked. And Christ went about doing good and helping people. And God calls us to do those things. And we should have a free heart to help people. Your life is not about you. As I always say, it's not about you. It's about giving the Lord the glory and serving others and not ourselves. This is to be done by the will of God and being obedient to that call, being accepting that call, as Pastor Finkley talked about earlier tonight, that's been placed in our lives. When he calls us out of that darkness into this marvelous holy light, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And that way we will not be yoked or entangled by bondage, by slavery of self or slavery of the world or slavery of some doctrine. As much as it feels good and feels like a blessing, but it can be a burden for us. So a question is, if we're not yoked by the slavery or not by the spirit, you know, we may enter in a free fall into some level of damnation because we maintain it or defend it or at all costs of hazards. So we have to be careful about that. So instead, let us get on cue with the Lord, find the common ground of life through Christ, unify the thought of liberty through Christ, and equally yoke ourselves with Christ by standing firm. And you cannot stand, you can't freestand, you can't stand alone. And really the question is, how do you do it? Stand in the full armor of God, as Ephesians 6:10-18 tells us. Because the only thing that counts here is faith expressing itself through love. So stay on, get on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, and get others on cue with that purpose. And so as we close out, Kennedy's going to close us out tonight. We thank you guys for staying with us, and until the next time.
Before we go, I thank our special guest, Pastor Malcolm L. Finkley of Life Church. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at OnQ Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. Invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. Consider Q Leadership curriculum and training for your church, home, or company. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Our host, my dad, would like to invite you to the huddle on August 2nd. If you are a leader in church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere, you cannot miss this. Our faith-based leadership discovery serves as the foundation to develop a playbook designed for you to enhance your leadership. Your playbook will become your lifelong guide that connects faith in how you handle challenges, make decisions every day, and hold yourself and others accountable. For more information to register, go to our website, www.qleadership.org or .com. We give all honor and praise to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks to those who tuned in. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer, assistant me, his better half, best friend, and wife, my mom, my little sister Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook, we dedicate the show to the future of unaccompanied kids. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue. Let us help you get on cue.